Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to the Deeper Podcast. It has been a hot minute, honestly. It's been a while. It's been almost a month, just over a month. We're so glad to be back. Dan, it's so good to have you back in the studio and just to like have this routine again. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Hopefully it's like riding a bike and we get right back on the road here and pick up where we left off. But it is good to be back together with you, Austin, everybody listening, and looking forward to talking about what we discussed this past Sunday.
Yeah, it's been, it's been a packed month or so. Mm-hmm. A lot has happened. We started the Olympics. We ended the Olympics. We've had so much going on in government, in the world. It's been one of those months that I've looked back on and I'm like, oh, that was only a month ago? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, but what's great about jumping back in is that we get to get back into, you know, the hard-hitting stuff that mm-hmm. people really come to this podcast for, Dan, which is the trivia.
Yes. Bring it on.
Bring it on. Oh, man. So I think we mentioned this before the end of our last episode, but I'm a huge Olympic nut. Mm. I follow the Olympics so much. We watch them all the time. I'll be working and have them up on, you know, my iPad mm-hmm. next to my computer just so I can glance over. And it's a ton of fun. I'm super obsessed with it. And the Summer Olympics, the normal portion of it at least, has finished this last Sunday. The Paralympics and Special Olympics are continuing, so you all should go and watch that as well. Mm-hmm. But for the main Summer Olympics, you know, we're having them come to the U.S. next mm-hmm. time in 28, mm-hmm. which is super exciting. I definitely want to go. But it made me think, you know, okay, what have the Olympics looked like historically? Mm-hmm. We know next year what we can expect. We can expect a similar number of countries, you know, whatnot. But it hasn't always been as grand a thing as mm-hmm. it was. So, Dan, I've got some first Olympics. This is Olympics number one of the modern Olympics.
Okay.
We're not going to go back to the ancient Greeks.
All right. Sounds good.
But the modern Olympics. Do you have any idea what year first that the modern Summer Olympics started, and then how many countries there were and how many athletes there were?
Wow. Okay. I'm pretty confident on the year. That was 1896.
You actually, that is perfect. Well done.
Yeah, that one I'm comfortable with. But yeah, the others, how many countries? Boy, the world looks so different then too. That's funny to think about. Let me get a quick thought. My guess is it would have been somewhere more like the 25 range. But
That's not too far. So there were 14 nations represented.
Yeah. Even Europe looks so different back then. Mm-hmm. So a lot more countries were consolidated. And then so athletes... wow. I mean, 14 countries, maybe just like 150, 200.
That is actually so much closer than I expected you to get. So let's see here. So there were 14 countries represented and only 241 athletes.
Yeah.
And of those, actually, of those 14 countries, the only one that wasn't a European country was the United States.
Okay, that makes sense.
Actually, a U.S. athlete did win the first ever gold at those Olympics in the 1500 meter.
Oh, wow.
And that's just crazy to me when we look at, okay, so 14 nations and 241 athletes. Meanwhile, this year, there were 206 countries and over 10,000 athletes at the Summer Olympic Games, not counting the, you know, Special Olympics, Paralympics.
And we have the winter now.
We have the winter now. And it's just insane. And I love the, like, how we are showcasing the best that we have to offer as far as athleticism and talent as mm-hmm. a species. It's always so cool. And I love seeing what a tribute to God that we can, like, showcase, like, hey, you made us to do such cool things. Like, wow, people can actually do that? Mm-hmm. I'm still not convinced that half of those are real people. The way some, especially those gymnasts, the way they bend, that does not seem human. But
a lot of practice and discipline, right?
A lot of practice and discipline. I did see a stat taken after the Olympic. You know, they finished it. They did a poll in England, and they were looking at what percentage of people think that if they started training now, they could qualify for the 28 Olympics. Yes. And a whopping 15% of people surveyed said, yeah, I could probably find something to compete.
Yeah.
We could do is we should have a friendship Olympics where, you know, the two of us, you know, we start training now for
some. I know. I know some families here who that do a little Olympics within their families.
There you
summer.
Go.
So, you know, hey, we kind of had it with the picnic, the three-legged race.
And we could have Eric go do some of the strongman stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right, yeah.
There's probably some pretty good shooters around here.
Oh, for sure. Exactly. Exactly. Good stuff. Well, now that we've hit that, we can move on to what people actually come here for, which is not the trivia as much as I love the trivia. But this is, let's talk about the sermon. Let's talk about Sunday. So we are in the middle of our summer series, which has been on the animals. And obviously, we didn't talk about the earlier ones that we did outdoors. So sorry if you guys missed that. They were great. You can catch most of them online. But now we're going to talk about this last Sunday. So, Dan, can you recap this last Sunday sermon for us?
Absolutely. The series has taken us all over Scripture, which has been great. Old, New Testament, we've kind of gone back and forth, different types of stories. And this week we're in the Old Testament in the book of Judges and part of the story of Samson. And Samson is a very fascinating character. Most people know something of Samson's story. If you probably just asked a random person, it would probably be Delilah. Mm-hmm. And maybe the cutting of his hair, the last part of Samson's story. But we were in chapter 14, which is more of the beginning part of the story, really the first things we see Samson doing in his life. So we just talked about his call, and God had this very specific calling and plan for Samson, and how you see Samson, well, taking up his own call and trying to follow and make his own plan, and those things kind of coming into conflict. The animal really in play was the lion. I guess you could say the bees, too, mm-hmm. but he has this confrontation with the lion there in the middle of the story and ends up becoming really a driving force for the whole chapter. And even into chapter 15 that we didn't go into. But, yeah, really, as a whole, we kind of set up and that confrontation talking about our plans and God's plans and how easy it is to get off track and really just focused on our own and some of the dangers of that and why, you know, almost kind of an encouragement of why we should pay attention to God's plan because of his faithfulness and his grace to us and trying to steer us on the right path and even working with us when we're more like Samson. And he continues to work with Samson. He even appears in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11.
Which is wild, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but insane that he's there.
Sure, sure, and just speaks to the grace of God. I mean, you could say that really about
any of
that
them
list.
There,
however,
yeah.
some you say, oh, okay, well, we see the faith, and someone like Samson, you're like, wow.
You?
Okay.
Yeah. That's why it's so good that God is the final judge and we are not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, again, like you were saying, a lot of what we talked about was determining between our plans and God's plan. And that is, and you know, I will ask you, obviously, that how can we tell what is God's plan and our, you know, how do we determine what's God's plan for our lives versus our plan for our lives? But also just, like, I want to sit with the whole, he had a very explicit calling. And he seemed to go out of his way not to do that. Just obviously, like, this is speculation, but why? Like, I think that most of us, when we think about, you know, we want to know what God's plan is for us, it's like we would do it if we just knew, we're told what it was.
Yeah.
You know, I know for me, I'm like, man, I wish I knew what God's plan for me was because, like, then I'd be able to do that. And him, he's given, like, almost as explicit a plan as you can get. And he just doesn't do that. What's with that?
Yeah, it's a great thought. And I've thought about it before in regards to Samson and, you know, his story and preaching on these texts. And I think a lot of what's come through as I've reflected on the passages and even thinking of myself then is that Samson at some point just wants to fit in and be like everybody else. You know, being set apart as a Nazirite, probably people knew about his birth, at least in his little tribe, you know, the tribe of Dan there and all that, and knew his story, and he wasn't supposed to do these things. And at some point, he almost feels like, I just want to be normal. And there's a little bit of rebellion that comes with that, obviously, like he's going overboard in that. But I thought about it in regards to, I don't have, I mean, I know I'm in ministry, but I haven't had, like, the very, very specific call.
Right.
Maybe Samson did, or we see others in Scripture, but all of us have a call as God's people, just like the Israelites did, to be his representatives, to try and live his way, to share that message, be a blessing to those around us. And I believe as Christians, even today, we still have that, you can call it inkling or kind of push to, well, we just want to fit in with everybody else. because to live God's way, we know we're going to stand out in some ways, and sometimes people might see you're a weirdo and or just to be annoyed by us, and you're always talking about Jesus, or you won't participate in these things because that's not what you think is the right way to go about it. And so I think in that part, we're seeing just some of the human, like, well, I just want to be like everybody else. Or in Israel's day, it was, we just want to be like the nations around us. Give us a king, and we want to worship their gods. And I think there is that same. So he had a very specific, and because of that, it's very clear, like mm-hmm. in the text, like, all right, here he is at a drinking party. Here he is touching dead animals. And
here he is killing all these people.
Right, right, exactly.
And I think the moment where, you know, he takes a donkey's jawbone and kills, what, however many.
Yeah, I can't remember. I want to say 400. But
some crazy number of people, which is an impressive feat in and of its own. But then you realize he took a jawbone of a donkey. That was dead. That was him breaking.
Sure, like, exactly.
Oh, there's another break.
Like you said, he seems to go out of his way almost. He's just wandering in the vineyards of Timnah. Like, what are you doing there?
It's like, you know? Come on, buddy. You yeah, aren't wandering yeah. in the...
Yeah. You know, he turns aside to find the dead lion, even. You know, like, let me go see that thing. And yeah, so I think there's that rebellious streak, which, again, probably, if we're honest, we can understand, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it does stand out very starkly in this story yeah. of he's trying to go his way. Just like Jonah. We talked yep. about Jonah a few weeks ago, Pastor Eric did. And very similar, running away from God's call as best they can. Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, again, you know, he had a very explicit, like, he should, like, Angel showed up to his mom, said, hey, your kid's going to do this and be like this. Mm-hmm. I don't know anyone at Friendship who that has happened to. Maybe it has. And if it has, I would love to talk to you and hear the yeah, story. Right. But that's not usually how we get, you know, our plans. And yeah. we've talked a little bit about, or our understanding of what God's plan is for us.
Yeah.
And obviously, we talk about this on and off all the time, but I think it's always important to revisit, like, what are some ways that we can practically try and discern what God's plan is for mm-hmm. us? And more specifically, how can we determine if it's God's plan or if this is just something we really, really would like?
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes, you know, God uses the things we really, really like. So how do we separate those
yeah.
things?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I think we only touched on it a little bit during the message on Sunday of some of these ways of exploring God's plan. And the reality is, we are kind of just going step by step in this. It's not like typically we know the whole layout. And even for Samson, you know, he didn't know. He got this general idea, probably, you're going to be this Nazirite and you're going to be one who's going up against the Philistines. That's about it, right? And the specifics weren't all clear. But likewise, we might have a sense of our gifts, and it's good to think about that because that's revealing, I believe, as to God's particular plan for maybe you as an individual, like, okay, I'm made this way. I'm able to do this well. I can speak well, or I'm good at writing, or you know, I just have a way with people and getting along with them, or teaching gifts. You know, whatever the gift might be, that's probably where God is saying, "Here's where I need you, and I need mm-hmm. you to use these things. I've made you that way for this reason." And we talked about that a bit with Samson, how the Spirit's coming on him, but he's kind of using that power for his own ends. That's always a worry for myself too. That, you know, I have these gifts and resources that God's given to me particularly. Am I just turning them in my direction rather than the direction of his kingdom, his church, obviously my neighbors, those kind of things? So that's one good piece I think you can easily reflect on. You know, what gifts do you have? We all have them. Another way is just we need to keep actually interacting with God, right? Mm-hmm. That's where I felt a lot of this for me is just taking that step to actually take what I'm laying out as my plans and just stop and think and pray at times, God, this is what I'm thinking. If this is not good, make it clear to me or help me see where you're leading in this, if I should be using these resources, say, in another way or making another plan for my job, my family, my schoolwork, my relationships. Being in Scripture, because sometimes, often, too, Scripture will point out if I'm getting off, we use the kind of, you know, our plans are often about our pleasures, which leads to kind of some sinful, usually mm-hmm. Kind of actions.
Yeah.
And so sometimes Scripture will identify that if I'm paying attention to say, oh, this is, I'm just being prideful here, or mm-hmm. I'm lusting after things or people I shouldn't. Or
So
that engagement and thinking about it, you know, okay, I think I referenced that passage from James, which he just points out, you know, about saying, well, if it's the Lord's will. And that almost seems like we can throw it around as like a pious kind of phrase. Well, if the Lord wills it. But I think he's just encouraging us almost the bare minimum mm-hmm. of, you know, at least you should have an awareness. Like, yeah, we're making this plan, but
But God's got the plan.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's the one who lays it out. He's the one who establishes our steps, as Proverbs says. So, you know, we have to pay attention to that. So I also think in Samson's parents were trying to do this. People around us who we trust, who we know care about us, who can give us valuable insight, to ask them, you know, to, if I'm making a plan, maybe I ask my parents, you know, hey, yeah, does this sound, what do you guys think about that? Or a good friend, right, a brother or sister in Christ, or whoever that might be, a mentor, you know, just even running sometimes the plans past them. Mm-hmm. And again, use your wisdom. It's not like, well, I'm planning to go buy these pens, you know, should I, you know, probably don't need to seek an audience, right?
But if you're like, hey, like I'm, you know, there's a serious conversation that I need to have someone with someone, yeah. Let me talk to someone about that.
Yeah, you're thinking about a career shift. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about, you know, maybe you're in a relationship, a dating relationship, and you're thinking this could get more serious, you know, look toward full commitment, marriage, and is this the right move? You might want to ask somebody, like, hey, is this, and they might say, yeah, if we see you guys together, what's took you so long?
Right.
Or otherwise, they might say, well, I do have
some concerns. Here's some things you could grow with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it could be a myriad of other things, yeah. Right? Health thoughts, right? Mental or physical, lots of stuff. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. As usual, fitting with the theme of this podcast, which is that we are meant to be doing life and doing discipleship in community.
Yeah. God gives us that for a reason. I really, you know, I never really noticed it in the story before, but the faithfulness of Samson's parents, you know, they have that conversation, right? It's like verse 2 when he says, give me this Philistine wife. And they're like, this is not a good idea. They don't say it, but they can tell they're disappointed in him. And yet they keep going with him. You know, they go down to Timnah with him when, you know, apparently he kills the lion off on his own, but he doesn't tell him. But then his father goes down with him to the wedding feast. And I thought, I know you have to be careful sometimes with direct applications, but there's so many cases now where we might have sons or daughters who are disappointed in their relationship choices. I know this can even enter into the realm of human sexuality right in there. And so many times we just want to cut off and because we're disappointed. We don't think they're going about it the right way. And there's this time and space to voice that, which his parents did, but then they keep going with, I think, in the hopes that God might work his grace, right? And in this case, they're hoping is maybe Samson will see it a different way. And so I don't know. I never really had noticed that before, but I appreciated their faithfulness, their stick-to-itiveness, as it were, and keeping going with Samson throughout this whole chapter.
Absolutely. And thanks for pointing that out, because that hadn't stuck with me either until now.
So yeah, one of those things that didn't get into the message because it was kind of...
Yeah, but it's so, you know, the parents are there throughout the whole thing. And that's, even in Scripture, we don't see that very often.
Yeah. Well, think about this, too. I know because the pastors here, we talk about this a lot as well. But at the end of the story, this all blows up in Samson's face. Where does he go? Back to his parents' house. Mm-hmm. Now, think if they had just been, you know, kind of done with him. Because you're not making decisions like we think you're cast out. Like, he's not going to go back there. He maybe wouldn't be welcome to. And I think there's a reminder there, especially as leaders, but just in our relationship, I've always been encouraged and encourage other pastors and leaders, as far as it depends on you, try to keep the door open and be gracious to people and try to, you know, they're going to make decisions you might not agree with, maybe sometimes say things to you in our relationships that aren't very nice or gracious, but as far as you can, want to leave that door open, because again, he's going back to his parents, he's going to hear their some of their faith, right? And Samson's going to struggle throughout his life, but you don't know, chapter 15, he is going to offer up a prayer to God. Mm-hmm. Maybe just some of that sticking with him and helping along the way. So I don't know, just some thoughts. This was kind of outside the message.
Yeah, but that's exactly what this is here for. Thank you for sharing those. Yeah. I really appreciate that. One thing that we did talk a lot about is how our plans, if we're going by our plans, they will eventually put us in conflict with God or our neighbor. And I think we see this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it can be very innocuous. We might not like be head to head butting heads, or, you know, but if we're going by our plan, that does not necessarily mean we're going to be the most diplomatic or loving or grace filled or respectful. There's really a whole lot of ways where we can end up seeing, like, trying to follow our plans and our pleasures and do things our way does not jive well with the way that we are called to live our lives as believers. And the problem with that is that we are going to do that all the time because we are sinful humans who like doing things our way. We hate being told what to do and are not very good at self-correction in the moment. Which is, you know, just the human experience. And man, does that suck sometimes. But that's the way it is. When we find ourselves in these places where we realize that we have been in conflict with our neighbor or with God, even if it's not like I've been in conflict with Dan and I don't talk to him, or but just like realizing that we've bumped up against, hey, something's not right here. What are some practical steps, both on a just a personal level and then on a spiritual level, to rectify and heal those relationships? And then I'm going to ask you to think outside the box a little bit and extrapolate. What might it have looked like for Samson to try and rectify and renew his relationships?
Yeah, so Austin and I, we were both in attendance at a wedding this past weekend, and made me think of some of what was talked about there. I was not officiating the wedding. Another pastor was. But with the couple, he talked about some of this very thing, and one of the points he made was about saying I'm sorry to someone else, right? And in this case, in the marriage relationship. And I think that applies very fittingly here, where there are times when, and again, like you said, sometimes it's very drastic and very clear. You know, we're really set so much on our plans that we're almost cutting people out of our lives and that. But other times, and a marriage is a good example, it's just this, I'm really just thinking about myself, and so I'm not loving you as I should sacrificially. And because of that, there's some drifting that can happen. And to recognize that when that's the case, to apologize for it, to say you're sorry, you know, to say, hey, I want to go about it differently, that can be a huge deal. Because it opens up, if you say that to me, Austin, it opens up for me to do the same thing. Because no doubt, like you said, there's ways I've been doing the same.
And might I also add to that, that doing that, even if the other person might not feel like that you need to, they need to be apologized to.
Right.
Because man, there is something so convicting that is, this has happened to me a few times where someone has come up and been like, Austin, hey, just so you know, I'm really sorry. I was, you know, really rude. I was not treating you very well. I said, you know, I hadn't even noticed.
Right.
And that really led me to be like, wow, I didn't even notice. And they felt so convicted about how they were treating me. I need to do better about treating other people well, because I'm probably doing the exact same thing.
Right. I think that's right, because I've had those instances as well where someone apologized and I, in my heart, thought, like, you don't need to apologize. I didn't even. But there's that good piece of saying, like, yeah, we should be much more aware of our thoughts and actions and how they're impacting those around us, and trying to do that in the most Christ-like way we can. And so I think in this case, that's one way we can seek to draw ourselves back together out of those conflicts. Sometimes, depending on what it is, right, there might be actual reparations, you could say, almost, that could be made, you know, of, obviously damage in relationship, but even sometimes there could be damage beyond that, you know, in a very physical sense, things that have happened because we just, you know, sometimes, you know, if my plan's not going my way, I respond with anger, and anger often leads to destructive behavior, whether that's property, abusive situations, things like that too.
My dad had a story he used to tell about he, you know, grew up as a missionary kid in West Africa, so they did not have a lot of access to a lot of technology stuff. And one of his older brothers had bought a speaker, like a nice, like Bose sound system, like really nice thing. And it was a big deal that he'd saved up for years. And I don't exactly remember how, but my dad ended up breaking that speaker system, and he felt awful. And he would, you know, he went and apologized. His brother was, he's like, yeah, that happens. And my dad, I remember my dad saying, I almost wanted him to yell at me because I felt like I deserved so much more from this material damage that are caused to our relationship. But my brother was so mature that I did not need to do, you know. And so that was just, again, like one of those things that sometimes there is that practical. And sometimes you can learn so much more by forgiving when it's not necessary.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, because we talk about plans and that unfolds closely with decisions, right? And sometimes those are seemingly quite small in the moment kind of things. But, you know, and this is lighter, but it gets into the point too. I remember I was with one of my friends at his house. He had just done some work in the basement, you know, kind of redoing, painting some of the walls. And I go to get him a, you know, can of pop or whatever from the fridge, come over. I could have just handed it to him, but I thought it'd be cool. I'll toss it to him. Well, guess how my toss went? Not well. Right into that wall. Boom. There's a huge dent in it. He's just done this work. I felt like the biggest fool, you know, ever. Right.
Yeah.
And he's, again, just like you said, like, it's fine. You know, like, I'm like, yeah, you know, I almost felt like you said, like, man, maybe just take a swing at me.
I'd almost prefer that.
Right. Yeah. Just get it out. Cause I feel terrible about it. But again, just a small decision. This wasn't like a huge drawn out plan I had or something like that. But,
and that's also so good to look at from the receiving end of, or the person who's doing the forgiving.
Sure.
Like, even if you've been harmed in a very real way, this thing that you've saved for years, this house that you've spent all these, this time and energy working on building up, something happens to it. And that act of forgiveness can be remembered and told so many years later. Sure. Like, this with my dad and my uncle happened probably 40 plus years ago, and I'm sitting here telling it now.
Yeah.
And there's something really profound about that learning experience.
I think that ties right into this whole plan discussion because, again, if your plan, say your, this would be your uncle, right, had this plan, you know, of how their relationship should be and, you know, kind of like, I need to be up here. And, like, they could have, like, you know, had a bit of a breaking in the relationship. And obviously we know there's lots of siblings out there who haven't talked to each other for years. And it might sound silly to say it was over a broken stereo, but there's lots of relatively small things that have completely severed relationships that should be close. And I think that ties in a lot with holding on to this plan I have, and I have to hold this kind of power in the situation, and I'm going to control things. And so there is that conflict we noted that comes up. The more I'm following my own way, the more I'm going to be bumping heads, certainly with the Lord, but those around us. And to answer kind of the last part of your question with Samson, you know, I thought this was a great lead-in. You talked about how when someone else shows us forgiveness or grace, it, you know, changes the situation, changes us often. Imagine in this case if Samson, you know, if chapter 14 ended, he returns to his parents' house, and then there's a whole section of him talking with his parents and kind of saying, you know what, Mom and Dad, I was off there. You know, you had it right. You knew this was not a good idea. I didn't see it. It's caused me a lot of pain now, but I see it now. Like, how much did, maybe chapter 16 looks completely different. Instead, Samuel,
I guarantee it would look.
You know, instead Samuel or Samson, excuse me, is kind of continuing on this path, and God's using him amazingly, but he's still kind of self-destructing, and he's destroying everybody else in his path too. But his relationship seemed to get—he's almost just basically a loner at the end. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see and to think about, you know, if he had just taken those steps with these parents who love him, who keep welcoming him back and working with him, you know, how much that might have changed.
And how much our view of Samson at the end would be so different, which, again, kind of goes into one of the last things I want to talk about, which is the image we are left with of Samson at the very end of his story. And, I mean, so he has been captured. He has had his eyes gouged out, which is something I don't think we can really begin to imagine. Like, we can say, yeah, he had his eyes gouged out, but I'm like, you take 3 seconds to think about. Awful. He is reduced to the role of oxen grinding wheat. He is stripped and he is brought in front of this whole crowd to be mocked at and jeered at.
Right.
I don't know, when you think of the lowest point of your life, what comes to mind, that feels to me like that's probably lower.
Yeah.
And yet there is still this redemption that God has for him, where even though he has spent his Samson's entire life actively running away from God's plan, actively pursuing his own plan, God is still faithful, and he still redeems that. And then Samson is still included in the Hall of Faith among Abraham, these huge heroes that, like, there should be no comparison, and how quick we would be to write Samson off if we were the ones making those decisions.
Right.
And I guess I don't really have a question with this, but I just want to sit on the, like, man, that tells us something about the forgiveness and the totality of the forgiveness and grace of God and his faithfulness.
Yeah.
How if he has made a promise, he will keep it.
Yeah.
Despite us doing everything in our power to not.
Right. Well, you highlighted it well, Austin, the faithfulness of God. Samson, and again, ourselves as human beings are so fickle, so, you know, willing to go here and there, and God is faithful to his plan, but his plan is for his people. And I think about that with my plans, how quick I am to adjust them. I might be like, oh, yeah, this is the plan. I'm all about this. I believe this is the right way, that way. And something happens, I'm like, well, you know what? Now this is what I think is best, and I'm over here doing this. That's not God at all. He is faithful, and you see it with Samson. You know, that last chapter when Samson's there, he, for all intents and purposes, is completely alone, except God's there with him. Mm-hmm. Even after all this, when Samson seems to blatantly say, you know, God, I'm not doing any of it your way. I'm going to try to go all against this, and God's been working. And Samson looks up, right, and prays to the Lord, and he's there. He gives him that strength one last time because this is God's plan, and he wants to, of course, be there for Samson and is faithful to him. And you could say even Samson in that moment is still rather selfish. It's still Samson, like, allow me to take vengeance one last time.
Right,
something like along the lines he says there. However, it's closer to his calling than he's probably ever been.
Mm-hmm.
But God works with broken vessels.
Yeah.
And it's part of the mystery of God's plan, that he's got this wonderful plan, but he wants to work it through us and does so, and that's his choice. And he knows we rebel against that at times and will, and yet he's still bringing this about. And ultimately, of course, we think of Jesus, you know, and we don't know exactly how that worked at the cross. But in my mind, it's striking to think of how Samson, and at last, is crying out, and he's been up and down, maybe more down than up in his life, and yet God's there for him. But when Jesus cries out, who's been faithful all the way, in that moment, you know, he's crying out, "Why have you forsaken me?" And there's no answer from heaven in that moment. And Jesus, who doesn't deserve any of it, goes there for us. And that's how Samson can be in the Hall of Faith, and you and I, Austin, and anybody mm-hmm. listening, because of the grace of God there. And Jesus going where we wouldn't or couldn't, and God's faithfulness to see it through himself, essentially,
yeah.
In the end. So, yeah, it's a remarkable story, and Samson draws us in because we can't look away in some respects. There's so much.
It's like watching a train wreck in a lot yes. of ways. And honestly, it's like, especially reading through the story of Samson, it's like reading like a superhero novel.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not necessarily the good guy. Like, yeah. I could absolutely see myself watching this in a theater.
Yeah.
And not knowing who to root for.
Yeah. In fact, you know, to get back to the earlier point, when I think we talked about Samson a year or so ago in a different part of the story, we alluded to Spider-Man, right? And I think I can't remember his one of the Spider-Man in the comics, he gives up that. There's a picture of him throwing his, you know, his outfit, his costume mm-hmm. into the trash. Like, I'm leaving that all behind. And we said, that's kind of what Samson wants to do. Like, I don't want to have this identity of the superhero,
right. yep.
God's superhero anyways. But mm-hmm. very interesting. And there's some of us in the story that we might not want to see that, but it's there.
Mm-hmm. Samson is all of us at our worst points.
Sure.
I think we can yeah. all draw some encouragement from that.
Yeah. And yet remarkable to see that when we are empowered by God's Spirit, we can do incredible things. We started talking about Olympic athletes and the physical abilities and even the mental strength, but spiritually, we're capable of so much more than we probably imagine. God's made us in his image, right, to be those who reflect that and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, and we see glimpses of it, I believe, especially, you know, now as we follow the leading of the Spirit, as we try to follow God's plan, we see glimpses of God's power at work even in us.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still on the way. We
yep.
know that too.
Still learning, still yeah. growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so we have a few more weeks. We've got, what, 3 more weeks left
yep.
in this series?
Yep.
On animals. What do we have looking forward to next week?
Yeah. So somebody came up to me this week and said, boy, I was interested to see where you're going to go with Samson and the Lions, kind of a wild story. I joked, yeah, who's picking these texts to preach that? And then this week I'm like, well, here we go again. We're in Revelation 12, and
okay.
it's the dragon is our animal, the dragon and the woman there, and this vision of the dragon pursuing the woman and trying to stop her from giving birth and then going after her descendants, and, of course, a picture of course, the ultimate enemy, Satan, and God's people, and, of course, Christ. And so we'll get into some of that and
Ooh.
Lots of Old Testament ties. But like another one, I thought, who picked this text? You know, this is kind of interesting, but it should be fun.
Should be great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. I'm so excited for that. Well, Dan, thank you so much for your time and your insights today. I've so appreciated having this time back again.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you as listeners are excited to be back. And as always, feel free to send us any questions, comments, concerns, requests. And we'll happily see what we can accommodate. Blessings on you all as you go about your week.